is better than one.
True. Oh, and Patrice, mm-hmm. The backup recording from yesterday, don't need it.
Okay, good. I'll throw that one away.
Okay, rolling.
Awesome. Okay, well, let's do a show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show on British Tech Network. I am definitely not British. Please don't hold that against me. I'm also not Ewan Rankin. Don't hold that against me. Although if you went to hold him against me, well, that would make for a completely different show. Wow.
You would be very strong. So is that
off the rails right away?
So we are about 23 seconds in and we've had the first innuendo. Perfect.
I don't think that was an innuendo. After that, well, thanks for joining us. It's been great doing the show this week. Yes. So I'm not Ewan Rankin, I'm Jeff Gamet. Ewan is on special assignment right now, and he'll be back with us next week. I'm committing him to truly being back with us next week because he's not here to say otherwise. All right. I'm going to go around my screen and introduce everyone now. And since my screen order has put Patrice at the end all the time, I'm going in the other direction. Patrice, how are you?
Oh, and I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I finished work about, well, now it's half an hour ago. That was 15 minutes before show. Today was one of the days I was like, oh, last meeting ends at 3. So I might have 2 hours to like relax, go for a walk. It was really nice outside. Clearly that didn't happen. But it was good. Like, I can't complain. It was a good day. Good week.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad the timing worked out.
It definitely did. I had enough time to make my tea, so... all good.
Awesome. I did not have time to make my tea. I am really looking forward to the end of the show so that I can make tea. Although I will have an awesome time all through the show. And I don't think I can recover from that line very well. So Chuck, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. I'm rolling along. We had snow here. Probably nothing like what you are used to in Boulder, but it was enough to slow us down a little bit. But I did have a question. Do you think Ewan is doing the Walter Cronkite thing? Do you know the Walter Cronkite thing about assignment? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, but I feel like I should.
Okay, so it was a joke apparently around CBS News back in the day when Walter was out that he was on assignment. But his yacht was named Assignment. So if he was on assignment, you could bet that he was out yachting. So there you go. I think Ewan could be doing the same thing right now.
He is on.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
And then frozen we lost Jeff. Oh, that's funny.
And as the host, that is definitely not good.
Yeah.
I think it's a mountain lion.
There was his internet connection. Yeah, exactly. Mountain lion ate his internet connection. Oh. Or Jeff. We don't know. There he is.
Jeff's defrosted.
Yeah.
Am I back?
Are you back, Jeff?
Yes,
you're back. You're back.
Yes, you are.
Awesome. Okay.
That's funny.
Apparently, Ewan has a magic switch he can press. That's. I'm sorry, Ewan. I am so sorry. Please don't hurt me. All right. So anyhow, Ewan is on assignment and that's his palatial estate.
That's true.
There you go.
Cal, how are you doing?
Yeah. Okay. It's been a good week at IMM Max. Another very fast week as they all are at the moment. Back here again. It's Friday, the Max show. Very happy to be here. And been a quick but very busy week. So.
Awesome. Well, I say we should hop right into stories because apparently my internet connection is a crapshoot today. So let's see how far we can get in the show before I end up dropping out again. And first up, because I figure we just need to talk through this and get it out of the way. Apple is reportedly working on an AR/VR headset, which is news that we have heard before. But right now, we apparently have more information about it. It's supposed to have dual 8K displays built in, and the price point is supposed to come in at $3,000.
$3,000. I mean, it's an Apple product, so it's probably more like five.
Okay, so I was thinking about this morning before the show, because I have this dysfunctional relationship with VR headsets. I want to love them, and I don't like any of them. And it's because I wear glasses, and they have not been designed for people that wear glasses. And if I take my glasses off, my vision is not good enough to be able to use the headset. So I'm just kind of meh about headsets. But I was thinking about this one, and I was thinking, well, that's another headset that I won't buy. But then I was thinking, what about the $3,000 price point? And if it's just the headset, it better be an insanely amazing headset, and one that is designed so that people like us that wear glasses don't have to wear glasses and will still be able to use the headsets and see everything clearly. But I was thinking, this is Apple, so they probably or could be doing more with this. So for $3,000, you might be getting the headset plus a set of sensors that go around the room so that it can do full body tracking. And then all the little attachments you need, like the wands and stuff that you hold, so you can do grabbing. And so instead of being, here's a headset, now buy all the other parts, they may sell it as a whole package, hence $3,000. And I know I'm totally trying to justify a price point like that.
So what you're saying is that it's the suit and like everything from Ready Player One that you get for $3,000, like the omnidirectional treadmill and everything?
That's the $5,000
version. Okay.
But I was thinking this could be more like Ready Player One than Oculus Rift.
Yeah, how much is the Oculus right now?
That's a really good question. We're about to find out.
I just had a quick look and I think it's about £600, I think. Okay. Literally, it was the first one that popped up on the side of Google, but yeah, it isn't going to be too far off that. I mean, if it's £3,000 for just the headset itself, that's
crazy. Yeah,
I know Apple's more expensive, but come on, that's taking the mic.
I mean,
okay, but
go ahead, Chuck.
Well, let's look at this historically. This sounds like we could have had this exact discussion, just change a couple of the words and maybe the pricing, for the iPod and for the iPhone and, you know, for the iPad. And I mean, just on and on and on. I don't think it's a matter of what the price is. I think it's a matter of what the value is that this is going to deliver. That to me is the question. Jeff brings up a great point. Part of that value proposition is going to be comfort and accessibility for someone that needs to wear glasses or contacts or whatever. In fact, you know, could even be, you know, the same question could be asked of someone with hearing problems if they need to wear some kind of additional hearing aid. So there are a lot of questions here that we're not in a position to answer, but I, you know, sure, $3,000 is a lot of money. But on the other hand, you know, I don't know how to judge that because I have no idea of what the value proposition is going to be. For me, if it's games, it's not going to be there for me. If it's going to let me do something really amazing from a productivity standpoint, yeah, I'll take a hard look at it. So I think people react to that thing, that price with a comma in it, and they just freak out.
I think you're right. I have like an alternative like theory about the price. If the price, I mean, to be fair, I don't think the price is nowhere near correct? Because, I mean, Apple, like, pricing and names are the best kept secrets at Apple. Someone might have a guess what they might charge, or they might, like, know what the production, like, what the production cost is and just guess it based on that, like, internally. But usually they're just, like, flat out guesses. They don't know anything. I mean, Apple doesn't even, like, they've changed the price last second, and even like the people in the know didn't know until last minute. So I don't know about the price, but if it's correct, I have a theory. There was a rumor recently that the initial launch is more targeted at developers, that this is about getting the software ready for the product. And if that is true, then I could definitely see an entire rig, because I mean, you have to think about like what else do you need? You need a headset, but you also need a pretty good Mac for that. And for $3,000, they could do like a mini Mac Pro and the headset, and have like a VR development kit of some sort for $3,000. And I think that would be reasonable for Apple pricing, and I think it would be in line with what they usually charge for development kits like that. So I could see that.
That makes sense. That makes sense, to be fair.
Yeah. Patrice, I really like that theory, and it totally fits with what Apple would need, which is, and it fits in with what they've done with other things in the past, where they say, "Hey, we've got this great thing coming. So we're starting with a developer kit, and it will cost $3,000." So that developers can start making VR products for our thing. And then 6 months later, or however, whatever time frame later, then they release the consumer version, which won't include the computer because you won't need it.
Yeah.
And still, hopefully, we'll have all of the Ready Player One sensors, and then away you go.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I mean, the difference to like something like the Apple Watch is the Apple Watch didn't need much software at the beginning. Like it was totally fine that it could only do like three things. And then developer could add features to it, because in itself, the few things that it did were valuable enough that people would buy it for the price that Apple was charging. So they could just, I mean, even then they did like a developer rollout where developers could get it, basically could get priority access and could get it earlier than everybody else. Like it was like a month maybe, or a couple of weeks, like it wasn't much, but they could do it. But as I said, for that product, they didn't need it. But I think for a VR product like this, they do. And I mean, people forget, Apple has had VR support in macOS for a while. There was like 2 years ago, I want to say, where they basically announced that you could use the Oculus with your Mac, and they had like a big thing on stage and whatever. Basically announcing, I think at WWDC, that developers could work on VR on a Mac and do that. And I think this is the logical next step. Like, okay, have your own headset, have your own thing, and have a development environment for it. So we'll see. On the other hand, Magic Man is saying the HoloLens is a $3,500 headset. So maybe it is just the headset.
Well, could be. Chuck, while I totally get what you're saying, you need to see the value before judging the price. But $3,000, still a lot of money.
For consumer products, yes. I mean, even for gaming product, it would be a lot. That's
fair. But let's think about what we're talking about here. We're talking about, we don't know what we're talking about, all right? So we're theorizing. But, you know,
we never do.
Theoretically here, yeah. I mean, we're talking about something that is high quality VR. Now, exactly what that means, we don't know, because none of us really have done a lot of things in VR yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, I go back, especially, I guess my big thing is the iPhone. You know, think about what you're paying for an iPhone 12 Pro Max,
right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now you're talking about something that is going to, you're going to put in your head, it's going to have the, it has to have some kind of motion sensors. It's going to have some kind of audio. It's going to have really high quality video inside there, because otherwise you're going to take it off and be nauseated. So they're going to have to solve that problem. I heard, forgive me, I don't remember which show I heard it on, but somebody said that they felt like the minimum that would be required to do the right kind of job is an 8K display or the equivalent of an 8K display inside that headset. So you start wrapping all these technologies into it and then factor in the fact that it's not Facebook, it's not Microsoft, it's Apple. And what their typical quality requirements are before they will release a product, they didn't release AirPower because they couldn't be happy with the quality. So, okay, now if we apply this to a VR headset, I don't think $3,000 is out of the gate, out of the ballpark. And I don't think it's going to be too much for folks.
I think my sort of thinking with that is you will always pay a premium for Apple products, but I think just looking at that, and again, we are theorizing because we've got very little detail on it, so we don't really know, but Apple have always been within a distance of a competitor. So when you go and spend £1,200-1,500 on a you know, brand new 12 Pro Max all spec'd out, the closest thing is going to be a Samsung S20, S21 or whatever on there. The price is, it's cheaper for the Samsung, but it's not thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds cheaper.
It's not half the price.
Yeah. The thing that's caught my eye with this is the fact that they're saying it's £3,000 and the most obvious competitor is the Oculus Rift, which is about £600. So it's, you know, many, many times smaller. So again, we don't know a lot about it, so it's difficult for us to sort of guess. But I think if it is £3,000, I think it's going to be a lot more than just a headset. And if it's just the headset, I don't think it'd be £3,000.
I mean, I think to Jack's point, it would probably depend on what is part of the headset. I mean, can Apple build a $3,000 really awesome like VR headset? Absolutely. They will find a way to spend the money if they want to do a $3,000 headset. Like if the target is $3,000, they will find technologies to put in there to make it, like technologies on the material side, technologies on like the electronic side, to make it $3,000. Like absolutely. Like it could be like, I don't know, 5.1 audio, like everything is gold. I don't know. They would find a way. But Apple usually finds a balance where it's like, okay, we wanna push the technology, we wanna push the materials, we wanna build a premium product, but we also wanna hit a certain price point that is reasonable within the market and is reachable for the audience that they want to reach. And so the question here is really, what is the audience? If it's like professional, like business things, I don't think $3,000 would be totally crazy if it's really useful for them. In the gaming world, I mean, I would say $1,500 to $2,000, if it's really, really good, yeah, might be a price point that they could charge. So I think it, as Chuck and I think Jeff as well said, it will depend on what is the value you get for that money. We'll have to see. I said, and then the whole thing about pricing, like, I don't think we know the price. Like, I don't think the $3,000 is even correct. It could be five, it could be two. I doubt it will be under $1,000.
I would be shocked.
I mean, sometimes Apple shocks us. Like, it has happened. They released the HomePod Mini, and it was $99, and nobody expected that. No. They've done it. Like, MacBook Air. Like,
hope they don't. I hope they don't.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Because if they do that, then it's almost impossible to raise the price unless you add some significant feature. Mm-hmm. I'd rather see them almost go the HomePod route of launching it high and then being willing to come down or offer a VR headset mini or the equivalent, you know, with lesser features that then might be a bit more affordable.
Yeah.
And maybe sort of the Pro and the Max thing that they do with MacBooks. You have a lighter cheaper version and a, you know, the full-blooded one if you need them.
Yeah. But actually, that's a good point. I don't think Apple has ever entered the market from the low end. They've always entered it from the high end and then maybe gone down. Like gone up a little bit maybe if there was something, but usually also gone down to just expand the range. Like, I mean, the iPhone was relatively expensive when it started. I mean, with subsidies, it wasn't that crazy, but it was still relatively expensive. The HomePod, the MacBook Air, when they released it, was like, I think one of the most expensive Macs they had. Now it's the cheapest. So that has definitely changed. I think they go in high and then they can go down. Like, they can always go down if the technology gets cheaper or they like expand the range or whatever. You can always do that.
And Cal used a phrase that I think is important to remember, and that is that Apple charges a premium price, but Apple's products are a premium product.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does the price always justify the premiumness of that product? Well, that's got to be for the consumer to decide. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, yeah, when you're buying an Apple product, you're buying quality, you're buying the reputation, you're buying the support, you're buying all those things that people forget about. You know, because we can all go to the drugstore and pick up a burner phone and, yeah. You know, it's a burner for a reason. It's because it's not going to last very long and it's cheap. And, you know, other than getting you connected to make sure you can use it there, you're not going to get any support out of it.
Mm, of course. Yeah.
Also, when we're looking at a product like this, we're looking at products that fall under the disposable income category. As a matter of fact, everything Apple sells falls in the disposable income category. These are not things that we need to survive. So, there's no requirement that anyone spend their money on any of these products. And if someone looks at Apple's headset, if or when it comes out, and regardless of the features, they say, yeah, the price point it's at is too high for me. That's okay.
Speak for yourself, Jeff. If someone takes away my phone, I'm going to die.
Well, okay, same. Yeah. Okay, everything except the iPhone falls under. Okay. And my Mac. Well, and
my AirPods.
And the AirPods. Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah,
also my VR headset as well.
Yeah, Magic Man in the chat said, "Think back to the shock over the 150 for AirPods, mm-hmm. which was a great point. You know, right there's another example. And yet, all of a sudden, you know, once you try them, I know I was one. You know, I thought that's crazy. You know, for what I could buy, but then I got them and then I bought another pair. So,
mm-hmm. Yep, mm-hmm. Yep." And the new headphones.
Oh yeah.
They're what, $550?
$579, I think, right?
Something yeah. Like so whatever they are, it's over $500. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a lot of money. And people have balked at the price. And then at the same time, we're hearing people say, wow, these are amazing. They're designed really well. They sound good. And the only consistent complaint that I see about that product is the carrying case, which doesn't affect the audio quality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that isn't what you buy it for, is it? You don't go, oh, I'm going to buy those £550 headphones for the carry case. You buy them for the headphones. So, yeah.
I would assume that's the case.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, yeah, you would hope so. But
maybe there's someone out there who's like, who cares about the headphones? I want the case.
There has to be someone out there.
Someone somewhere.
All right. iOS 14.5 beta 1 is out.
Yes. A lot of goodies.
Yes. The feature that I'm most excited about in this moment, and what I'm most excited about changes throughout the day or over time, it's the ability to unlock my iPhone with my face while wearing a face mask.
Mm-hmm.
Caveat is you have to have an Apple Watch because the Apple Watch is going to trigger the unlock for mm-hmm. you, much like you can use your Apple Watch to unlock your Mac.
Yeah, I've tried it, or actually, well, I shouldn't even say I've tried it. I'm using it all the time because whenever I'm at the store or whatever, it actually works. And it's really, really smart. Like from what I've seen, like I've done some testing with like just putting my like hand in front of my face and some other stuff. It seems to somehow detect that it's still detected it's your face, but you're wearing a mask. So, I mean, I haven't been able to try it with any other people because, well, Corona, and I don't have any other people around right now. Mm-hmm. But like, as I said, I've done some other testing, like obscuring my face with a hand and just like trying to trick it somehow. It doesn't work that way. Like if it's your hand, for example, like just doing this, doesn't work. So it somehow detects it's a mask, but still you, and then triggers the unlock. So if someone else did it with their face and your watch, it still wouldn't work. And that's really smart. Like,
smart. Have you tried it with a scarf?
I've not. I will try that later, actually. That's a good idea.
I want to know because, I wear masks when I go mm-hmm. outside. But if we ever reach a point where we don't have to wear masks on a regular basis, winter will still come to Colorado. And it will be cold enough at times that I'm going to wear a scarf. And what I've had to do in the past is pull the scarf out of the way so that I could do the unlock. And if I could just leave my scarf on and do the unlock, better.
Okay. It worked.
Awesome.
It worked. Like if you put like that, it works.
A live test.
Good thing I had a scarf behind me. I could just try it. Yeah. Really I have
a scarf.
I know. Thanks, Etsy. I have been thinking about this feature, and it's kind of curious that they introduced it now. I mean, we know with all the features coming, like there's some other interesting stuff. We can almost guarantee there will be some kind of press release, Apple event, something in about 2 months. Like, let's say 6 weeks to 2 months somewhere, so end of March, beginning of April, mid-April, something like that time frame. I'm kind of wondering what Apple could do with this kind of technology down the line. Because if they introduce it now, I mean, yeah, it's Corona and it's really, really helpful. And so pushing it out earlier is really good. But Apple could have waited with this feature until June. Why did they push it out now versus waiting? I have a feeling there's something they can do with this kind of technology that we're going to know about in 6 months.
That would be cool.
I don't know what it is.
Even if that doesn't happen, but you're probably right. But even if that doesn't happen, rolling it out now just so that we have it is really nice because even with vaccinations happening, we are not going to be at a point where we can go without face masks for quite a while still.
Yeah. And even after, like, I mean, I've heard and I am definitely myself in that group, I'm going to wear masks even after like everything's over. Just makes more sense.
Yeah. I have some pretty awesome masks now.
Yeah, me too.
They're just part of my lifestyle and my wardrobe when I go out. Yeah,
they're part of an outfit. Like you coordinate them, they're everything.
Yeah. So I expect that that masks will be a thing for quite a while.
And anybody from Asia right now is like shaking their heads because they've been doing that for forever. Like they're right. Like, what are they even talking about? Of course they're gonna wear them. Like,
right.
That's the point. Yeah. I said, like, I mean, you might be right that they just like, because Corona and because it was ready and because they could push it out, they did it. And I'm very happy that Apple is at a point in their like development and their internal like structure that they can push out features without waiting for the big once a year reveal, like the big WWDC where they announce all the features in the world. And then there's nothing for the rest of the year, like other than hardware. I'm very happy that Apple is at a point where they can do that. Remember the like the iPad keyboard, for example, the keyboard and trackpad support last year?
Yeah.
So and it could be that that's all. Like it just was ready and they wanted to do it. And it was definitely probably a more like harder feature to develop. So I could see that. As I said, I'm just wondering like this multi-step like authorization where you have like, okay, it like scans your face and does something and then it continues with something else to like fully unlock it. I have a feeling that could be something that we see like in other devices. Maybe like there's this rumored like fingerprint sensor in the new iPhone. Maybe that's part of it, like where there is like, I don't know, there's Face ID and Touch ID together or something. Like where it's like, if you don't have an Apple Watch, you use your fingerprint to fully unlock. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know, maybe it's not reliable enough to do like, to do it as like the only thing to do it, like the only authorization you need is a fingerprint. But with Face ID, it's more secure.
Well, and if it does have bigger plans for this type of feature or the way they use this technology, rolling this out now, while it gives us a really nice benefit, also gives Apple a lot of data about how the technology works in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
for our beta testers.
Well, and since we are doing rampant speculation here, the idea that this is now multi-factor authentication for your device. I mean, we've talked about that. The face touch ID was great, but it wasn't as secure as Face ID. Mm-hmm. Now, if you had Face ID and Touch ID required, or if you had Touch ID and an Apple Watch ID, I mean, and so this also, you know, somebody sooner or later is going to say, well, yeah, of course, Apple wants you to buy an Apple Watch so that you get these features with the Apple phone. Yeah, but there is also a legitimate or potentially legitimate additional security feature here, which would also play very, very nicely into Apple's whole theme of security privacy. But, you know, we're giving you, or, you know, maybe give you the option to turn all those things on and off. That if you find it burdensome to have two things, you only have to use one. But if you really want to be secure, then turn two or even three of them on.
Yeah. I mean, you could even like do it by app and say like, I don't know, my banking app, I want to be super secure, or like my passwords maybe versus, I don't know, just unlocking a device or like something simple, like your notes app or whatever. You're like, yeah. Like one is enough. I don't need two. Like what, any of, like basically saying either it has to be two or any. Like I don't care which.
I mean, as well with that, more choice is always better. So if you've got the ability to customize how you want to use something, it's ultimately it's another selling point as well. Is you know, getting away from the security, it helps them sell the product as well. I just want to mention as well with the feature, with the sort of being able to unlock it with your face mask. Joe in the office, he's got an Apple Watch and he's been using it today. And it's really well done because you can't pay for stuff with it and you can't unlock apps with it. You can just get into the phone, which I think is a really nice additional sort of security feature that they've added, that you can't, you know, you don't get all access to the phone. You just get to unlock it. And then, if you want to do anything else, you've still got to go down the normal routes, which I think is really well done, to be fair.
Yeah. So. Which I mean, solves the like most common issue, because like most of the time you're just like out and about or in a store or whatever, and you just like want to text someone or look something up or like, I don't know, check your shopping list. And like you do that 15 times a minute sometimes, because like, oh, what did I want? And then you pick up the Apple and I'm like, okay, what was the next thing? And it's locked again. And like you're doing that all the time. So yeah, but you still want the security. I'm pretty sure that like the security aspect is a little tricky, because you're not doing like a full face scan, and the Apple Watch, I mean, someone could literally just hold the phone close to your Apple Watch and it works. Like, so I'm pretty sure that there was a little bit of a testing and discussion about the security aspect. So that's why it took so long, probably.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah,
and I think it's a really good middle ground.
Yeah, and I don't want to be a killjoy here, but I do think it's important to remind folks that if you are installing a beta to get this feature, it's a beta. Yeah. And so, you know, there can still be rough edges, there can be crashes, there can be a lot of things. I personally have not installed it. I don't plan to install it until it actually gets released. Not because I want the feature desperately, because I'm tired of punching in my passcode. And I was used to the convenience of Face ID. Now I want, you know, now I don't want to have to do the passcode. But it's not worth me having an unstable iPhone over.
Yeah.
So
also
proceed at your own risk.
Watch on watchOS beta.
Yes. Don't do that.
And that's a one-way path.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And good point, I Joe. Mean, as someone who has bricked her Apple Watch once with a beta version, that's no fun. I mean, there's nothing you can do. You literally have to send in the Apple Watch and Apple has to send you a new one. The only thing they can do.
We had a horrible moment with one of them where we did a screen replacement on an Apple Watch, and then 2 weeks later the customer came back and went, I've updated my watch and now it's not working. And obviously that was our fault. Like, it had nothing to do with us. It was a complete coincidence, but we had to take it to Apple, and Apple very, 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 very generously replaced the watch. But always be very careful with Apple Watches in particular, because we've had a number of things like that.
Yeah, and then don't forget, I mean, we don't know whether this is going to be released in, like, I mean, we hope so, but like, we don't know. Apple can take away features at any point. Mm-hmm. Like, especially in the summer, it happens all the time where like features come in and then they disappear for a little while and then they come back, because like, as Apple like sees issues, they sometimes take away features to not like cause issues down the line. Like, I mean, there's no point in like, I mean, if it's destroying data or like breaking devices, whatever, it's probably safer to just remove the feature for now and then introduce it again when they fix it. So yeah, there's no guarantee it's going to be there next week. So don't go with the betas unless you're like me. You know what you're doing and you're living on the edge.
And even if you do know what you're doing, you're still living on the edge.
Yeah, totally. Like absolutely. I said, I've been burned like multiple times. Like, I've bricked phones. I mean, that was like I could fix. I've bricked Apple Watches. I've destroyed Macs. Like, I mean, destroyed in air quotes, like the OS. I had to reinstall it. I've lost some minor data once because there was an issue with iCloud. Yeah, I know what I'm getting into, and like I take the risk, in part so you don't have to.
And we appreciate it, Patrice.
I just had a thought. What if the data that Apple collects from the way this feature works and using multiple authentication methods finds its way into their rumored car, and now you can set up your car so only authorized people can drive it. Mm-hmm. And someone sits in the driver's seat, it does the scan and figures out if they're an authorized driver. Mm-hmm. And then what if you have kids that are driving age? You could set it so they could drive the car only during certain hours.
Yeah, I think you can already do that. I think one of the new like car key features is that you can set that up for your kids and for other people and can limit when they can use it.
Yeah, that was I remember that.
Be aware of this.
Yeah, I think at least BMW is doing that. I think that was what Apple talked about.
Definitely.
Yeah. Haven't heard anything about that since, last year. So... But it's cars, so who knows?
Yeah. So what do you think about the Apple Card family feature? Which is part of iOS
5. Yeah. That is really cool. I mean this is not official. Someone found some code and some strings in iOS 14.5. So it's not even visible. Like if you go in right now, you wouldn't be able to see it, but it's there. That's really cool. Like from what we've heard, seen in the code, you can apparently set like purchase limits. So I'm guessing like you can like give your kids some money and say, I don't know, they can spend, let's say $10 a month on your Apple Card and they get it on their device, I guess. And yeah. They can only spend that much. And there's like
they've a just reinvented message. Pocket money, haven't they?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, kind of, because you could already do that. I mean, you can use Apple Pay Cash, Apple Cash, and just send them $10 or something like that. But this is kind of an automatic thing. Like it goes to your card. You don't have to send money or do anything like that. It's literally just like automatic from what we're seeing. Like we don't know all the details yet, but it's really cool. Like you can basically share your card with your family.
I was surprised that this wasn't part of Apple Card when it initially rolled out, because there are plenty of other credit cards out there that once you get the card, you mm-hmm. can say second card for this person. And there yeah. you go.
But could we see this being rolled out for Apple Pay generally? So if you have a card, no matter who the bank's with, you can share it with people within your iCloud network. I don't know the legalisms behind doing that from a banking point of view, but just a thought.
I would assume that it would technically be possible. I think it would rely on the card company behind it allowing it. Because, I mean, they're technically still in charge of that. And like the whole authorization process and so on, like how does the card get added to the other phones and so on? Because, you know, there's this authorization through the card company, the bank, basically. So I think that one might have to wait a little while because that requires agreements with all the banks and, you know, that's not the fastest. The advantage of Apple Card is, I mean, it is backed by Goldman Sachs, but really it's Apple in charge. So they can just do whatever they kind of almost do whatever they want. I'm pretty sure there are some limitations also legally.
And I don't have a family, I don't know, somebody can correct me on this, but this feels like that has the potential to improve and ease the management of credit card limits, mm-hmm. especially for kids. Now, yeah. there may be Visa or MasterCard out there that are doing this already to some degree, but it's just given that, you know, it's Apple, it's the iPhone or the iPad, you know, that I just know how easy using the Apple Card is now, or Apple Pay, you know, from within one app. You know, I get instant information on everything. I know exactly when, what's going to be due. I manage the payment from the app. There's no jumping to, you know, to some specific somebody else's app to do it when I can do it all right there. There's no jumping to a website. God help me, there's no jumping to my bank's website to pay bills if I don't want to. It's all right there. And so
and it's secure.
And it's secure. And so, you know, man, I wish Apple would spend a little more time educating the public. Mm. And I would call on some of the news web, the Mac news web to an Apple news web, I should say, to you know, educate that these are superior features. Now, it may not be for you, but they're there. And if you're serious about this, or if you have the need, they've solved your problem.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I definitely see it as making it way easier because, I mean, what's the alternative? Yes, there are some others that do that. But for the most part, you have to get a separate card for them. Like for your kids, like your teenage daughter or something. And I mean, that cards then can get lost and all of that. Like there's more to it than just like having a credit card. There's like much more to that. And you really don't need that. Like if they have a phone and they're part of your family and you set it up for them, they get it instantaneously. Like it's more or less probably like a one button thing. Like, I mean, you probably have to fill out whatever the limit is or set something up, but it's more or less one button where you say, give them access. And then it shows up on their phone and they probably have to prove it. I don't know. Maybe for children not, but if it was like your spouse, for example, probably have to approve it first, but then they have it. Mm-hmm. So definitely, I see that as a big, big, big benefit. And it's something that Apple can do relatively easily. To Jeff's point, you asked why Apple didn't do that earlier. I think they wanted to get it right first for one person before they open it up to more, because, you know, if like we're the really early adopters, so we get the Apple Card, we use it, we use Apple Pay, all of that, That's one level. Like if something is not perfect, if something is a little bit more complex, if there's like things that are not easily understood, we can still manage that. Like we can deal with the not perfect things, like you can export data to apps and all of that. Once you add an entire family to that, it gets way more complex.
Yeah, that's true.
So it was probably simpler to do it this way. I mean, like if your spouse wanted an Apple Card, like he or she could get it. So like you can sign up for your own card. Like it wasn't a big deal. And for your kids, you probably didn't need it right away. So I think it wasn't a big deal to not have it right away. Sure, I would have wished it they had it because it sounds super useful. And I would definitely use it. But yeah, it's better to get it right first and then roll it out.
That makes sense. Won't stop me from complaining, but it. Yeah. Are there any other features in the 14.5 beta that are jumping out at you?
One or two. There is also rumored, or like same thing, they found strengths, a financial health feature of some sort. Nobody knows exactly what it is. There is speculation about, is it like an AI learning thing where it suggests things to you? There's not much detail on that one.
Wow, you spend a lot of money at the liquor store.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it could be. We don't know anything about that.
We didn't need Apple Card to know that, Jeff.
And they're like, hey, Jeff. that's all the AI I need right there.
I was going to say the rubbish bin full of bottles tells me that.
Yeah, but given Apple's perspective on privacy and on security of everything, I think this makes sense. Because what is the alternative right now? You need a third-party app that then consumes your data, your financial data, which is, I would say, sensitive data. So mm-hmm. You might not want to do that. I mean, there are people like that totally want to export it, and Apple is now offering that. You can connect it to the other apps. But I think it makes sense for Apple to say, well, what if you don't want a third party to have that data? I mean, Apple has it already, kind of, because they're the bank in this case. But you can do all of that on device and do like on device AI and say, okay, and like here is like an overview of how you spend your data, and here's like advice how to, I don't know, improve your credit score and all of that. They could do that.
That would be cool. That would be a nice bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a very Apple thing to do.
So. Yes. Yes, it would.
Yeah. And then what was the other thing? Well, Fitness Plus gets a little update. You can now AirPlay to other devices, but you lose, I don't know why, for me that makes no sense, but you lose the like the rings and so on, like the live data, the fitness data. So you only get the video.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. There's probably a technical reason. I'm guessing because it's only playing the video. Like, you know, in the background, Fitness Plus, really, it's a video and then they have an overlay with your data.
Right.
So I'm guessing because how AirPlay works, where you literally just switch the stream. It's not streaming from your device to your like TV or something. It's just handing over. Most of the time, it's literally just handing over a URL and say, play this. And then it streams to that device directly. And I'm guessing that's why it's not showing, because they can stream the overlay. I still think they could figure it out, and it's weird.
I think they could figure it out.
Yeah. So
they figure out how to make an iPhone.
Yeah. Exactly.
But they have nothing else to do. So, you know.
Yeah, totally not.
Yeah. They don't have a VR headset to develop, so.
No. Or a car.
Or a car.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's mostly it. There's also dual SIM 5G support for the rest of the world. So.
Yeah, which is nice. I mean,
nice to have.
So it's nice that that it's coming.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the big features right now.
All right. Well, I don't get to play with Face Mask because I don't run developer beta on my iPhone because it's a mission critical device. And you can't do it with an iPad. So there you go. But I'm looking forward to having that feature, like, a lot.
You're right. That's actually weird. The iPad should do that too.
It should. And yet it's interesting how many things the iPad doesn't do that it just should. Yeah. It still bugs me that I can't put widgets anywhere I want on an iPad.
Yeah. I think there was a new iPad feature that I completely forgot about, to be honest, in the new beta. Something that the iPhone already has and now the iPad got too. But I don't know what it is.
Like a calculator or a weather app?
Oh, no. Horizontal boot screen. That was it. major feature. The boot screen is now horizontal. Like, it's properly aligned.
While we joke about it, it's actually something that should have been there for a long time, because a lot of people leave their iPad in like a Magic Keyboard case, which means that it's in horizontal. So when it goes in a boot up, like, just because you're starting it up or you do a software update, watching the boot cycle at a 90 degree angle, it's sloppy for Apple is what it is. It's just sloppy for Apple.
And let's be fair. That's something. It should have been there 11 years ago.
Yes, I agree completely.
Yeah. So it took Apple 11 years to rotate an Apple.
Well, maybe they had to figure it out pixel by pixel.
Oh, it could be.
That's a lot of.
Yeah, and again,
are always so annoying.
You know, it's interesting to hear, because I agree completely, but it's interesting to hear the reaction. I wonder where that fell on the list of priorities, because you know Apple gets a ton of feedback. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, where did that fall? Did they just finally get around to it? Because that's kind of the attitude we're all having is, yeah, they finally got around to it. But I also agree with Jeff's statement about it just seeming a little bit sloppy for Apple.
I think they finally got around to it, but it became a higher priority because with the new Magic Keyboard, where the iPad becomes basically a touchscreen computer, and a lot of people are going to leave their iPad in that pretty much all the time, it makes sense to just go ahead and address that. And so they finally got around to it, and I think that was part of the impetus.
Yeah.
I think it fits in with their statement. They said about the iPad as well, that your next MacBook isn't a MacBook. So I think it's them probably trying to, you know, address that as you say, people using it as a Mac rather than just an iPad.
Yeah.
Huge feature though.
Yeah, massive. I think you also have a show title.
Yeah, write that down and send it to me,
Patrice. I have it.
Awesome. Thank you. Hey, this show and all the other shows at British Tech Network are sponsored by awesome companies like TSO Host. And TSO Host, they make sure we have the bandwidth and the storage that we need so that all of these shows can happen and that you can go back and watch them later. And what they want from us, well, of course, they'd love to have your business, but what they want from us is a shout out. So head over to Facebook and Instagram. Wait, no. What's the other one? Twitter. If you want to pop in Instagram, whatever. Facebook and Twitter. And give them a shout out and let them know that you appreciate what they're doing for us. Because seriously, without them, we would not be able to be here. That storage that they give us is critical. And also check out the best of videos that Righty has been putting together, because he's done some great stuff. And those sit there on that storage that Tiosa Host is giving us. And also that's where you can find the Christmas show, which I'll talk about a little bit more in just a second. So thank you, Tiosa Host. Also, I'm in Max, which Callum, you may be familiar with.
No, I've never heard of them.
Well, let me tell you about them. They are a company that will take care of fixing anything with an Apple logo on it. By the way,
especially stuff with cloth on.
Especially, yes.
Yes, I committed you to that yesterday, just so you know. Okay, so what I love is that first, the person that's fixing your Apple device, you're looking at him right now because Callum is here, and yeah, he's right behind you. He's in. if I had an Apple device where something was broken on it and it's out of warranty and it just needs like that one little thing replaced on it, doesn't need the whole like motherboard replaced, the only person I would want to touch that is Callum. And and that would also include me having to send whatever the device is across the Atlantic Ocean, because I'm on the wrong continent apparently. So in addition to fixing all of your Apple stuff, they also sell things. So if you're on the hunt for a new Mac, they've got your back, a new used Mac, iPhones, right? And all the stuff that you need. So
the essentials.
The essentials, that's right. Non-disposable income does not apply here because your Mac and your iPhone and your iPad are mission critical.
Absolutely.
Price of the week for us?
We've actually got an older MacBook Pro in at the moment that we want to get rid of, to be honest. So, we're selling that nice and cheap, £400, SSD in it, 8 gig of RAM. Be absolutely perfect if you're homeschooling or if you need a device for emails, that sort of thing. So head on to our website. It's all there. I just want to say it's been a really good week for BTNers getting in touch as well. We've had a couple of people reach out and ask for mugs and wireless chargers, which is always nice. And we've had a couple of repairs in. So Ian Lewis from, I believe he does the photo show with Ewan, another guy as well who was asking for a monitor, phoned up and asked for me. Joe wasn't very impressed, but hey ho. Been a really good week from BTN and a pleasure to be here as well. So and mention your 5% off as well, and you'll get that at the checkout. So
awesome. Yeah, I want to get me some Iman Max gear. Like I want that mug, I want that charger. So we need to figure out what
we need to send over a goodie box that can be distributed from our to our friends on the other continent or the wrong continent or whatever you called it.
The wrong continent.
Our friends on the wrong continent.
And speaking of the mugs and the chargers, BTN is doing a contest where you can win a mug or an Iman Max charger. And the Qi charger is cool because it also has USB ports. You can charge other stuff, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
Awesome. So here's how you can get in the contest to win a mug or a charger. You need to send an email to British Tech Live at gmail.com. Did I get it?
Not quite.
Great email.
I think British Tech Live might actually work. I think that's an alternative. No, it's BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com.
BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com. You'd think I'd know that because it autofills for me when I send the link to you and when I record a show. Send an email there. And what the email needs is the name of all four people from Iman Max. And you already have Callum. Callum has mentioned Joe. That's two people right there. So you just need to find the other two names. And remember how I mentioned the Christmas show? Well, this is why. Go and listen to the Christmas show. And all four people are mentioned in the Christmas show. And then send those four names to Ewan. That gets you in to the contest. And people are going to win cool stuff. All right. So thank you, Iman Max. Thank you, TSL host. Every one of you rock. all right. So on to the cool things. Patrice, what do you have?
I'm going to pick something, and I just looked it up. I picked this almost a year ago, but it is still an app I use every day. Well, every week for the shows. It's Textual, the IRC app. You can go to chat.britishtechnetwork.com, and there's like a chat window that you can like chat with us like during the show and whatever. It's okay, like it does the job, but if you want a proper IRC like app for the Mac, something that is, one, it's a proper Mac app. It like uses all the features that a Mac has. It like, you can configure it to your liking and like all of it. You might like not want to use a like browser window for that. And that's what Textual is about. Has been around for, I don't know how long. It's version 7, so gives you an indication. It's not free. There's a 30-day trial if you want to give it a try. I'm just going to look it up. It's $7.99, $7.99 to get it. One-time purchase, no subscription, no nothing. You get it, it works. It's just a really good app. Colloquy has had some issues. I mean, that's free, but has had some issues. I don't even know whether it still works because like half of the time it doesn't.
But I have to manually scroll through everything. I should just spend the $7.99 and buy Textual.
Absolutely. Yeah. The developer is like, so far, like what I've seen and heard, like I have not needed any support because as an app just works. But they've been really nice. So like no complaints. It's a good app. I mean, IRC apps, not spectacularly exciting. But Textual, I've been using them for many, many years at this point. And yeah, I'm very happy. Still works on Big Sur. Everything fine.
All right. I'll end up buying it. And the link to find that is in the chat. Excuse me. Patrice, where can people find that chat?
Well, you can head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then navigate to the 5th of February, 2021. And there you will find all the links, everything we talked about and everything everybody else talked about because you won't see the entire chat history. Please don't click on links that Muller Biker posts. It's the only rule.
Most important bit of advice you'll get today.
Mm-hmm.
Any day, every day, that one.
Absolutely.
True. Chuck, what do you have?
Okay, so this is going to seem a little strange. So I'm going to start out by giving an uncool pick of the day. My uncool pick of the day is PowerPoint. PowerPoint is just, it's one of the reasons I'm on blood pressure medication. It is terrible, in my opinion. It is. The controls are so, they're typical Microsoft. There's so many controls everywhere that you can't find anything. It's so cluttered. So I had a presentation that had to be slapped together this week on short notice, and I was trying, and of course, business uses PowerPoint. So I was trying to use PowerPoint, and it was just not working well. So I constructed the presentation in my pick cool thing, which is Keynote. What I kind of forgot, and a lot of people do forget, is that you can there is an export function from Keynote to PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple caveats here. First of all, you have to be a little bit careful with the fonts because that could be an issue. You also need to be a little bit careful about the transitions and especially some of the cooler things that Keynote lets you do. But so you need to do a little experimentation. But if you're just doing your basic presentation that slides, you know, without a lot of fancy stuff, or if you're going to try to do the fancy stuff later, figure it out in PowerPoint. But definitely constructed in Keynote. One small thing that just drives me crazy about Keynote is that I cannot do a Pixel. At least somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, it doesn't give you a place to do a pixel by pixel placement. You know, so that if I want to take a screenshot, say, and put it on this slide, that I can then position it exactly the same place. So when I'm switching slides, it's not jumping around. In PowerPoint, they do it with inches. I mean, don't ask me why, because this is a screen thing. So why would you use inches? But they do. So, you know, I love Keynote. I detest PowerPoint. So if you have something, at the very least, do a lot of your rough work in Keynote and move it over. You're going to be so much happier, and maybe you won't be on blood pressure medication.
Yeah. I mean, two things to that. One of my favorite quotes, like one of my former bosses once said, PowerPoint is when you make a point with your middle finger.
I want to use that. I like that.
Yeah. It's so true. The other thing is, I mean, little secret tip, if you don't need PowerPoint at the end, I mean, one, don't use fancy transitions unless absolutely necessary. I mean, there are some reasons to do it. So like sometimes you want them, but if you don't, and you don't need PowerPoint, just export it as PDF. No issues with fonts, no issues, anything. It looks exactly like you wanted it to. I do that all the time. Like I created a Keynote and then just export it as PDF and send it to everybody, because nobody needs the PowerPoint really. Like they just need something they can look at. You might want to present it on another machine, works with PDF. Just use that.
It's easier. Great point.
Magic Man's just put in the chat, they should supply free statins with Office 365.
Yes, Magic Man. Yes. I'm just going to say, you know, look, the ultimate tip here is just don't use PowerPoint and use Keynote. But exactly. I also know that sometimes, you know, in the business world, that's not an option. They don't give it to you. So, but for heaven's sake, use Keynote for anything you can.
Yeah, or you have to provide it as a PowerPoint because the other person has to open it and edit and whatever. Like that happens too.
Right.
Yeah. But I do that too. Like I have PowerPoint because it's part of Office 365. I just use Keynote and then export it to PowerPoint and it works. Like I think you can even embed the fonts if I remember correctly. Might be wrong about that.
I'm not sure. In this particular situation, I was working with just standard fonts, but I know that just anytime you go back and forth between a PC and a Mac with fonts, it can be an issue.
Yeah, that's why, select the font that's available on both sides. That's always a good idea.
Yeah.
Just causes less issues.
Yeah. So Keynote is there living on your Mac. Use it. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, and it's free, Mike, with your Mac.
Nice. Yep. Callum, what do you have?
So I've got an app today called Onyx, which is one that I went looking for this week. Basically, the best way I can describe it, I haven't used a lot of its features, but it's almost like clean my Mac that's free and a bit kind of rough around the edges, but it looks like it can do an awful lot more than that. So the main reason why I went hunting for it is because I've been making installers for Big Sur, USB installers, obviously. I use them quite a lot. And I've basically corrupted a couple of installer files, and they were stuck on my Mac and they were in the trash can and they didn't want to leave. So I found Onyx and it got rid of them straight away. Absolutely no fuss. I've been having a play around with what else it can do, and it can do an awful lot. I haven't found something it can't do with a Mac yet, to be honest with you. It's just a really useful tool, and it's the best price in the world, which is free. So if you don't have it on your Mac, I think it's one of those setup things where you need setup, Onyx and webcam settings, and you're pretty much set. So really useful tool. I haven't even scratched the surface with it yet, but it's really, really neat.
I do remember that. I've used that. You know what the really cool thing is? You can download a version of Onyx for Jaguar all the way back. Yeah, like they have one version for each operating system and it goes all the way back to Jaguar. So you also know it's a proper like geeky tool if they have a new release for each operating system version, because they're like tweaking everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great app.
I'm sorry that we hadn't told you about Onyx before.
I do hold you personally responsible for that. But,
well, I blame Jeff.
Yeah, I blame you.
All right.
He's not here, so that works.
Satisfied. You didn't tell Cal about Onyx before now.
Why don't we all blame Doc? He hasn't been here for 2 weeks.
That's true.
That's a good idea. Let's do that. About Onyx.
Okay, yeah. You're satisfied. Okay. My pick is something that I decided to just try out almost on a whim. Because advertising works, and I kept seeing ads for this little thing called PenTip. And here we go. On my Apple Pencil, you can see that the tip of my Apple Pencil is now gray instead of white. And that's because it has this little tip on it now. And it just comes right off. There you go. Little squishy, rubbery kind of thing, sort of like a little Apple Pencil condom. And what it does is it what, Chuck?
What?
it adds a more of a real world feel to your Apple Pencil, meaning when I use my Apple Pencil normally, it feels like plastic on glass. And you put this little thing on and it adds some friction and a little bit more flex to the way the Apple Pencil is moving. And so it feels more like what you would have with a pencil or a marker on paper. I mean, it's not that perfect feel, but it's making my Apple Pencil feel more manageable when I write and draw with it, especially when I write. And I've had these for only a couple of days, and I'm really liking them so far. So it comes as in this tiny little box, and you get 5 in a box. You can see that one's missing because it's already on my Apple Pencil, because the Apple Pencil tip is the same on the version 1 and version 2. You can use these with either Apple Pencil model. And the pack of 5 is 18 euro. And so this is from a company in the Netherlands.
Nice.
And you can get the tips in multiple colors. I went with gray because I had no idea exactly how they were going to look when I actually got it. And now that I have it, I kind of wish I'd gone with a brighter color. Just this would be fun. But, you know, whatever. It works. And it doesn't cost that much to get the box of 5. And shipping over from the Netherlands, honestly, the longest part of the shipping was once it hit the United States. And right now, our postal service is in a crunch. Excuse me. So it took like a couple weeks after it hit the United States before they showed up. Mm. And excuse me, only a few days to get from the Netherlands to the United States. So their shipping was great. And the only delay was completely out of their control. So I was really impressed. And 18 bucks for 5 in a little box. And, you know, they send you a nice little cart. Oh, here we go. I can show you all the colors easily. There we go. So you have multiple colors. And it's great. And it's pen.tips.
I love their very website. Nice. It's just, here's a tip.
Mm-hmm. It's very simple.
It's just very, I like
there
that.
You go. Here's what you want. Exactly what you want. Nothing more.
Yep.
This is it. Pick your color and tell us where to send it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's great. So pen.tips.
Good one. All right.
Well, we have successfully made it to the end of another show without going too far off the rails. So thank you to all of you for making my job as UN stand-in today so easy. And thanks to everyone that's tuning in live, and to everyone that listens or watches the recording later, thank you as well. Thank you to Tios Ojos and Imen Max. Don't forget to get your name into the contest to win an Imen Max mug or Qi charger. And I think that's it. We've made it to the end of the week. Everyone have an awesome weekend. And Ewan, we are excited to see you again next week. So thank you, everyone.
Definitely, yes.
Come back, Doc.
We miss you. We do.
Yeah, maybe we do. Hunting for Doc.
Ooh.
That's an episode title. maybe not for this. Maybe not. Maybe not for this episode, but an episode.
Ewan's big dog hunt.
I already sent it to you. 11 years to rotate an apple.
Yes. And I just realized that it's a good thing you guys have a backup recording, because even though I've been recording the whole time, when I dropped out, Zoom kind of freaked out. So it's recording, but I can't start or stop my recording.
Oh, cool.
Infinite Zoom.
That's good.
Yeah. Maybe when I hit end, it will stop. And I'll have the recording, but there's a good chance I'm going to need a backup today.
Don't worry. Drop me an email if you need it, Jeff.
I'll let both of you know if I need it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure thing.
Cool.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you. That was fun.
It was.
Good show, folks.
That was lots of fun. I will kill the live stream. And bye, live stream.
Rest in peace, live stream.
Yeah, I didn't think we would have anything to talk about this week, and then we talked about 40.5 for the entire time.
Well, it didn't feel like we were just trying to say filler. A lot of good discussion.
No, it was a good.
I was surprised when Jeff started the ad read. I'm like, is the time already over? We're like, oh yeah, we've been talking for a good 50 minutes about it.
Yeah, I wanted to start with a headset because I figured we'd have a lot to say, and then we would just with the rest of the stuff. And we never got to any of the other stuff.
Yeah, which is good. The other stuff was boring anyway, so.
Yeah. I know Dave Ginsburg wanted to be here today, but he had some kind of big kickoff meeting, so I know he had said he definitely could not be here. So
yeah, he told me the other day too.
It's been a while since we've had just a four person.
It's true, yeah.
So
it's normally quite busy, the Mac show, actually. It's normally sort of six minimum.
Yeah.
Five.
Sometimes more.
Five minimum.
Yeah. Was it like eight or nine at some point?
Yeah, that was late last year, wasn't it?
We just invited everybody, apparently.
Yeah.
I think that cracked. Yeah. Ewan cracked on that one. I think he's
no
more. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Ewan granted the nine-way shot. He was like, okay, if it's nine people next time, I'm ready.
Yeah. He's never used it since.
That's true.
Yeah. The next time he'll need it, it'll be for a 10-way shot. He'll be like,
oh no.
It's like, yeah. Exactly.
I should have made one more.
Yeah, it's true. All right.
Well, I'm going to go, guys. Thank you so much. Thanks for hosting.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff.
Pretty good job, Jeff. Yeah.
Thanks for making it easy for me.